biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Welcome back. Another Transforming Conversation. So glad you can join us for this part two of Democracy in the Kingdom. Now, last week, we started discussing this topic based off of the 91 weeks commentary that Pastor Rock does on a weekly basis as to how we as Christians allow democracy to sneak into our philosophy and our understanding as to how the kingdom of God operates. So this is part two, and if you haven't heard part one, I'd encourage you to go back, listen to part one, because part two would make a lot of sense. But let's pick up now where Pastor Rock was talking about why people refuse God's appointed leadership in the church.
So when people refuse God-appointed leadership, they are really rejecting the leadership of God.
That's right. That's right.
And echoing the rebellion of Satan. Hmm. And there are several things I would like to stress to people who think that way. Number one, I'd like to ask, why do you find the idea of leadership and somebody over you in the Lord so repugnant? Why is that so bothersome that you condemn it and rankle against it and accuse those who attempt to practice it? Why does having somebody over you in authority bother you so much?
Good question.
Well, I would suggest several answers. One, because it offends your pride.
Exactly what it is.
But to that I would say, it only offends pride if you believe God's appointment to leadership indicates greater love or greater worth. But it doesn't indicate either one.
That's right.
People who are called to lead in the church don't have greater worth and don't receive greater love. The only thing they get greater is a stricter judgment. Because Scripture says those who teach will incur a stricter judgment. So they don't get more love. They don't have more worth. God doesn't like them more. He doesn't have any favorites. All they get for being called to leadership is the guarantee they have to measure up to a higher standard.
That's tough, man.
So,
wow.
So if it rankles your pride, it's because you don't understand what leadership is about. You think it means somebody's better than you. It doesn't mean that at all.
Right.
Just means they have a different assignment than you. And rather than railing against them, maybe you need to repent of your pride.
Amen.
Because if you're too big to have any man lead you, I would suggest you're too big to let God lead you.
Wow.
Years ago, I heard an old holiness preacher say, our submission to God is measured by our submission to men. If I refuse to submit to any man or woman, then I'm kidding myself when I say I'm submitted to God, because God establishes certain men and women to be over us.
That's right.
So, if you think democracy, you'll tend to think demonically. A second reason why I think people bridle against leadership is because they establish their own worth by the wrong criteria. We live in a world where people establish their worth by all the wrong criteria, by sexual prowess, whatever that is, by handsome or beautiful appearance, right, by material possessions, by title or positions, by celebrity, by strength, by associations.
Right.
And those are all flawed and sinful criteria for your worth.
Right.
Our worth as human beings comes from being created by God in the image of God.
Amen. Amen.
Everything else is really foolish and ultimately demonic. But because we live in a world where worth is generally associated with anyone or any grouping of those false criteria, we carry that mentality into the church.
That's right.
And then the idea that somebody is over me in the Lord sounds like, oh, they have more worth than me.
Mm.
And then we bridle against that.
That's right.
But again, it doesn't mean they have more worth. It means they have a different assignment, a heavier burden,
right,
more responsibility, and face a stricter judgment. Another reason why I think people resist leadership is because they tend to project all of their own worst flaws onto leaders. Now, let me explain what I mean.
Yeah.
You often hear people assume, well, anybody in leadership is an arrogant, controlling, type A, you know, proud, driven person.
Right.
To them, leadership is always negative, always indicative of corruption.
Right.
Now, I firmly believe that what we project onto others is indicative of what we would be if we were in their position.
Mm. Okay.
That when a man says, everybody in leadership is corrupt, what he's really telling you is that if he were in leadership, he'd be corrupt.
He'd be the one. Right.
That's why he thinks everybody else in leadership is corrupt. Everybody in leadership lies. What he's telling you is if he was in leadership, he'd be a liar. Everybody in leadership is just looking to make a buck. What he's telling you is if he was in that position, he'd be looking to make a buck.
That's right.
What we project onto others is ourself.
Mm.
So those who rail against anybody in leadership are really giving you some insights into their own heart's corruption. The truth is, not everybody in leadership is corrupt.
That's right. That's right.
That God, while people that God appoints to leadership might be corrupted while in leadership, and when they are, they're to be publicly rebuked.
That's right.
Unlike others who are to be rebuked privately. The truth of the matter is that while somebody appointed by God may be corrupted, God doesn't appoint corrupt people.
That's right. Big difference, isn't there?
Well, there is.
Yeah.
See, Saul was appointed by God, but he eventually was corrupted. But he wasn't corrupted when he started.
That's right.
Because God doesn't anoint and appoint corruption.
Hmm.
Anointing and appointment don't preclude corruption.
Right.
Lots of examples of it in Scripture. But neither does God look and say, I need a leader who's compromised and who's corrupted. God doesn't appoint corruption. God doesn't anoint corruption. Why do those who are appointed to leadership sometimes go corruption? Because in spiritual warfare, Satan always targets the leaders.
That's right.
In World War II, German troops and American troops were both taught, look for the officers and shoot them first, because that creates havoc in the ranks.
That's right.
In the Battle of the Bulge, the life expectancy of an army lieutenant was 15 minutes.
Oh, my.
Because the Germans always shot at the officers first.
Right.
Some people in leadership get off the rails and get corrupted. But God doesn't appoint corrupt leadership. Hey. Mm. So, you know, when you say, well, if somebody's in leadership, they have to be egotistical, they have to be... First, you're really giving us a glimpse into your own heart. And secondly, you're questioning God's judgment.
Dangerous ground.
It's presumptuous.
Yeah.
It's presumptuous. You know, I pastor what's called a megachurch. I've had people confide that when they began to attend here, they assumed I was arrogant and controlling, because in their mind, that's the profile of a megachurch pastor.
Right. Right.
And so I was damned by position before they ever knew me.
Right.
And I remember one woman came to, I think it was a fundraising dinner entertainment night for students' summer mission opportunities. And they sat at the table next to mine to watch me.
Really?
Yeah. They told me this later. Because they assumed I would be arrogant, controlling, expect people to wait on me, yada, sure, yada, yada, you know, obnoxious leader. And they said, I watched as you played your trumpet in a jazz ensemble as music while the guests were entering and being seated. Then came down and sat next to your wife. And when they called for volunteers from each table to go get the plates of food for everybody at the table, you jumped up to serve your table. And when it was time to collect the dirty dishes from each table, you jumped up and collected the dirty dishes from your table. And during the night, you had your arm around your wife. And when the rest of us were leaving, you stayed and got out a vacuum cleaner and helped the cleaning crew. And the woman said, I realize you aren't like the rest. And my thought was, and the rest, most of them, aren't like what you think.
Yeah. Right.
But we tend to project our worst onto people in leadership. So, all of that to say this. The kingdom of God is not a democracy.
That's right.
It's a benevolent, all-wise monarchy. And a benevolent, all-knowing monarchy is the best form of government.
It is.
Because human democracies are all about compromise. And while we love the idea of everybody has a vote, the reality is, when you watch some people's lives, why do we allow them to vote? they're a hot mess. They can't control their emotions for 5 minutes, and they have an equal vote with anyone and everyone else. But I'm not advocating for anything different than democracy here below. But democracy has a corrupting influence. The reality is, God appoints leaders, not because they're better, not because he loves them more, but because leadership is necessary. The opposite of leadership is chaos.
Right.
And when God appoints leaders, he's putting them in a position of greater burden, greater responsibility, and stricter judgment. That's why he says, love them, make their burden as easy as possible, and hold them in high regard, and obey them.
That's right.
Obey them. One final thought. And two final thoughts. One, as somebody appointed to leadership, I have no interest in people obeying me. That doesn't move my needle.
Right.
I don't need that.
Right.
Frankly, I'd just as soon be on a trout stream by myself.
Just so the trout obey me.
Yeah. That's when I'm in my sweet spot.
Right.
Fishing, just me, nature, and the fish. I don't need to have some position. I don't need to have people call me certain titles. I don't need people to act differently around me. In fact, if I catch them doing that, I call them on it. I absolutely hate it. Hate it. Don't need it, don't want it, and
right.
hate it.
Right.
To me, it's anathema. But I spend every moment knowing I have a responsibility. And I've been able to carry it out joyfully.
Amen.
Because I pastor in a place where people understand hierarchy isn't about worth. It's about necessity. And where they let me lead as a servant. Because leadership is ultimately about service,
That's
not
right.
privilege.
That's right.
And do so gladly. The final thought, I think democracy also has a corrosive influence on how we see truth. In a democracy, we essentially establish, as I said earlier, law by means of voting, counting hands,
right,
counting ballots. Because of that, our culture tends to think that that's the same way you establish morality. If the majority of citizens think something is moral and acceptable, then it's moral and acceptable because we have the votes.
Right.
And that has led to moral anarchy, where we do what is right in our own sight rather than what is right in the sight of God.
Right.
We reject God telling us what is right, and we now determine what is right by majority.
That's right.
If everybody's doing it, it's okay. Well, that's not the way the universe works.
That's right. That's
There's a judgment, and at the judgment, God isn't going to ask for raised hands. Because truth is not determined by counting hands. Truth is determined by God.
Amen. Amen.
So, I love living in a democracy, but you need to know it has a very corrosive effect on how we see the hierarchy within the church and even how we see truth. As somebody appointed to lead, not only a congregation, but I've been privileged to lead within our denomination, the Alliance. I can tell you, I didn't seek leadership. I don't see it as indicative of me being more godly. I do feel the tremendous weight of it. It doesn't mean special privilege. It means additional sacrifice.
Right.
But because it's from God, even the sacrifice is a joy. So I don't need to be over anybody. I don't think of myself as better than anybody. But God has called me to lead. And I accept that with humility, because I'm not worthy, and try to carry it out faithfully because of who God is. And that's the kind of leadership God has ordained. Yeah. And that kind of leadership is not to be decried, resisted, rebuked, or resented. It's to be followed, and where it's wrong, challenged. Because the universe is a hierarchy. And for this time, God's church has a hierarchy. And if you read Scripture, it appears that heaven will have hierarchy. Because those who were faithful will be given greater responsibility. That says hierarchy.
Yeah.
Hierarchy is godly. Resentment of hierarchy is satanic and demonic.
Right.
Thus ends the sermon.
And I think because of your convictions is why God's appointment has been on you so long. Because you understand appointment.
I hope I have.
Yes, sir. And yeah, thank you for your time. You know, I often hear a lot of, and see a lot of books on leadership, but very little on those who have to, those who follow and those who are under leadership. Maybe I'll start researching how to be a good follower,
All right.
Godly follower. Anyway, thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, Greg.